Well, the book is so well written, I think it'd be a disservice if we didn't have you read something from it.
Sure enough. What do you want me to read? Do you have anything in particular?
You know, whatever you feel would be good.
All right.
You know, you read from the intro the other night at Bumbershoot, so maybe that would be...
Maybe I'll just read... this is a couple of paragraphs where it's kind of defining what cool is. I mean, you don't even have to buy these pages. You can just... The birth of the cool took place in the shadows, among marginal characters, in cold water flats and furnished basement rooms. Most mid-century Americans were defined by their role in World War II, but cool wasn't drafted, and cool didn't serve, and cool was too young, too weird, too queer, too black, too strung out, too alien to take part. Cool wasn't part of the victory celebration. The history of cool is the history of a shiver in the human heart. In the face of the atomic bomb, everybody felt powerless. After 1945, the idea that history was a steady progression toward perfection began to seem naive. Absolutes were shaken. Relativity entered the world. As the World War victory euphoria gave way to the paranoia and conformity of the Cold War, artists were forced to turn inward and go underground in search of ways to express the powerful new realities. Before, there had been many individual acts of cool. Now cool, a way, a stance, a knowledge was born.
Reads like a prose poem. That's beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. And, you know, the whole book is like that. It's just very, very, very easy to read. And, of course, I'm interested in this. And maybe that says something. And I don't want the listener to get the sense that this is just about jazz musicians. However, there is one last question that refers to jazz musicians, certainly in that era, and that is, what is so cool about giving up your life to a heroin habit?
Obviously, there's nothing cool about that. I mean, you know, what William Burroughs, called a, he said, there's a character in Naked Lunch, which is a book very much about heroin. And he talks about the Rube being a character that when the need came up on him, and that was a mark nobody could cool. I mean, heroin was a symptom of a disease, which was but it was more than a disease, because that's kind of a contemporary way of looking at it. But it was a way just to cope with the horrors of the life of being a jazz musician, really. And a lot of, if you see a play called The Connection, which is a something I write about in here, which is a play that starred a number of jazz musicians who were unable to work in New York City because they were junkies, and Jackie McLean, the great alto player, was one of the stars. And in the play, there's almost, and this was a play that was done by the Living Theater in 1957, and there's a hierarchy. I mean, people wanting to be cool, and the most cool is the most out in their world. The white junkies want to be black junkies, and they all want to be jazz musicians because the jazz musicians are the ones that are ultimately cool. But it's a desire. I mean, you look at a culture which you can't be part of and you don't want to be part of. So in a way, it's a kind of aspiration. It's a kind of ambition to be the most unpart of it that there is. And that was being a junkie.
Yeah. And of course,
I'm not recommending it, nor does this book recommend it.
No, yeah. Definitely not. And you know, looking back at from, you know, this perspective as to what cool is you know, it's inappropriate. But from our standards today, which is the only one we can look through, because here we are,
right?
We would never say that was cool, though at the time it certainly had that aura about it. Jackson Pollock was cool. Dorothy Day was cool. There's a lot of other cool folks who had nothing to do with jazz.
Yeah, this book is it's about the idea of cool. I mean, the subtitle, A Beat Bebop in the American Avant-Garde, was forced on me by the publisher. I didn't really want it because I felt that it was too limiting, because the book traces the idea through a number of different areas, including Zen Buddhism and anti-nuclear politics and to some extent psychology. I mean, it's trying to trace the movement of an idea from the edge to the center, and I'm doing it through I guess you would say the metaphors that I can handle, which is mostly about to do with the arts, because ultimately this book is, like I said, a spiritual autobiography, because it's about the things that, these are about tales of the heroes that were my heroes and that I felt that I wanted to pass on to the children of the tribe, you know, because I really see, you know, heroes aren't always good, but they're always worth the study.
Being above ground during a nuclear war test, a simulation, if you will, a drill, if you will, in New York City, and not going along with what you had to do, Dorothy Day, and in fact Jackson McClough too was part of that.
Yeah, absolutely, Jackson McClough was two strains of people doing that. There were Catholic workers who really took the idea of Christ's example seriously. And there were some radical left-wing anarchist types, of which Jackson McClough was one of them. And they actually, those two strains came together in the Living Theater, which produced the play The Connection, which was a play about jazz and heroin, which was a very important cultural event in the 1950s.
Two of the coolest schools were the New School of Social Research and the Black Mountain College.
Yeah, yeah. Well, New School was just cool because it was the school of Greenwich Village. And, you know, people like Marlon Brando went there. That's where he got kicked out of his first drama class. And Black Mountain College was a different thing. Black Mountain had a couple of different eras. It had the era of the German refugees who were forced to leave Germany because they were either Jewish or Bauhaus. I mean, when the Nazis took over, one of the first things they did was to get rid of the Bauhaus because it was all a place where long-haired boys and short-haired girls hung out. And a lot of those people, because they were Jewish, couldn't get jobs in most college, like Ivy League colleges, because there was a quota on Jews as teachers. And a lot of them ended up in this tiny ramshackle college in North Carolina. And many great poets came out of the Black Mountain College. I mean, probably half their students turned out to be major American artists, and from Merce Cunningham and Robert Rauschenberg to, well, the teachers, Robert Creeley. I mean, there was the difference between the students and the teachers. I mean, there was like 2 years difference. So it was the fountainhead of a great deal of American culture of the last 50 years.
Well, there's more on Cool to come. We're talking with Lewis McAdams. Birth of the Cool is the book, Beat, Bebop, and the American Avant-Garde. It's published by, Free Press?
Free Press. Yeah. It's part of Simon & Schuster.
Yeah, and we'll continue the discussion in just a moment. We'll also talk about something that's real cool, and that's about the effort to restore the Los Angeles River. Our guest is Lewis McAdams. The book is Birth of the Cool.